It's 17 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on Downtown. And it's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan in the house with us. Hello.
Hello. now all I can think of is Beavis and Butthead. That's great. You got a heck of a show today, and I'm not even counting me.
Well, that's the best part.
Lee Thompson, I mean, you know, that was, she was very important to me when I was younger. And actually, Caroline in the City was, that was a great show that kind
it
of,
was.
I think it set the stage for a lot of shows that have come after that have been greater fame and more important socially, but that was a fun show.
Back when did they call it? They called it, because there were several shows headed up by women.
Oh, yeah.
And they called it Must She TV.
Must She TV. Nice. Cool. That's, yeah. And of course, the young man who was on prior who made all of us look like.
Good God.
That's embarrassing.
It is. I think, you know, I was fairly busy in high school, but what a rookie I was.
I was talking about my senior project the other day. Like, yeah, I wrote a couple songs. It was cool or whatever. He's like, yeah, I'll do a little lobotomy. It's overseas. It's, you know, because I want to be a nurse. I'm like, yeah.
I want to be a nurse when I'm not dancing in the play, playing soccer
stars.
And tennis.
Yeah, oh my God.
And a 97.8 GPA. Yeah.
It's amazing. That's cool. It's good to see the kids can do that and thrive. And
he's a punk. I tripped him. I tripped
good,
him when we
good.
Went out the door.
Secretly, that's what we're all thinking, right? Like,
No, he was great.
No, he's sweet.
Nick, if you're listening, I don't mean that.
No,
you're awesome.
You are awesome. You are an inspiration.
Yeah.
And I'm going to point my children in your direction as opposed to the direction I was in.
If my little guy does half of that, I'm going to be so proud.
Exactly. So we're in world tour mode again. We've caught up to, hopefully, you know, we take the first 6 months of the year and do this sort of crash course in what I pretend to know every day. And, now we talk about, wines of the world and sort of, you know, off the beaten path places and, some places that we have talked about, some places that we haven't, but I always do start with, my homeboy country, whatever, of France. Because of course we've talked a lot about, and when we were talking about appellations and terroir and, you know, why certain places are important, France is really, you know, unequivocally the heartland of why wine is important in the rest of the world. No, they didn't invent it. They just kind of perfected it over centuries. And so we're going to cover some of the other regions that, you should definitely get to know, so that you can, sound like a wine snob when you go out, and say, I know all about Bordeaux, Burgundy, the Languedoc. All these things. And then we'll talk a little bit about Germany and Austria and Switzerland. I wish I could get Swiss wines, man. That's killing me. There's some really cool stuff. But
Swiss colony? Italian-Swiss colony? I remember getting that.
That's not quite what I meant. I'm talking about things made out of chasselas.
Oh.
I don't know what that was made out of, but that's okay.
Pretty good idea.
So we're doing, we're going to finish up France over these next 2 weeks. And like I said, talk about some of the places we haven't. So today, in honor of the fact that it's rosé season and, it's a flower day biodynamically. Mm. And I really just wanted to drink nice cold rosé after the kind of crazy day that I've been having. So we're talking about Southern France and the Rhone, right? So we've talked about Burgundy and why that was important. And just as a reminder, why it was important is that the Cistercian monks were keeping very, very exact records for a very, very long time, saying what planted here is the best determinant. This didn't work at all. And basically experimentation over the years. And they've developed a very sort of finesse-driven wine culture there. Whether or not you think it's the most, you know, beautiful, sexy wine in the world is not really the point. They're really going for not just overt fruit in your face. They're really going for nice balance, secondary aromas, interesting wines that express where they're from. And so that ethos really carried sort of south down the river valleys and everything into the area known as the Rhone Valley, which in itself is sort of a misnomer because there's two vastly different parts of the Rhone Valley. The northern part of the Rhone Valley is a little bit smaller. It's perched up on hillsides. It's quite dramatic, and it's also quite dangerous. As many of the great vineyards in the world are, they're sort of steep and exposed to sun and wind and all the sorts of things that vines really like. But it is absolutely impossible in most parts of the Northern Rhone, at least the good vineyards, to do anything but manual harvest. So most of the stuff that comes out of the Northern Rhone is not mass-produced junk. It's all pretty good. Even the large concern like Chapoutier, whose wines you may have seen around, it's legit wines. They happen to own some of the best vineyards in the Rhone. It's just that they are the biggest concern. But it's still all really, really good fruit, just by virtue of the fact that there's no opportunity to grow mediocre fruit in that part of the world. And the main grape that you see there is Syrah. So anybody who's a fan of, dark fruit, certainly wild herb essences, and also sort of roasty, toasty things, like for instance, right now I'm braising a brisket right now at home with like tomato sauce and chilies and stuff like that. If you like complexity and richness like that, Syrah from the Northern Rhone is really something you should explore. It's not cheap. That's what it is. It's hard to farm. It's all manually harvested. But it's also not super expensive, except for, an asterisk on a couple places, because it's not really that well known. Now, what is well known is the southern part of the Rhone Valley, where you get completely different ethos and grapes and everything. You still have Syrah, but the main grape of the Southern Rhone, and thence basically the entire southern shore of France, and then certainly into Spain, is the Grenache grape. Grenache is and can be super light and fruity. In fact, our wine of the week this week, that is from the Languedoc region, is a very, fruit, strawberry-driven, fun wine to drink. But of course, it can also be made into a very, very heady wine, and especially with the inclusion of all the other varieties of grapes that you're allowed to use in the Southern Rhone. So it is a very specified appellation, but within the specifications, you have 22 different grapes that you can use, people do everything from, I used to sell a Chateau Neuf du Pape, which is the very famous appellation within the Southern Rhone. I used to sell something called Pure, which was 100% Grenache expression of Chateau Neuf du Pape. There's other people like Chateau de Beaucastel, which we also carry in the shop, that famously uses every grape available to them. And every vintage is different. And they're really striving for a really complete tapestry of what's available to them. So everybody does it different, and everybody has different ideals. But the wines, therefore, are sort of hard to pin down. But the best ones are not just juice bombs. They actually have a lot going on. Again, very, very similar to what the Burgundians were trying to achieve. Balance, acidity, appropriate tannic strength. And of course, unsurprisingly, because of that, a lot of the great Southern Rhone wines are extraordinarily age-worthy. frankly, a lot of them aren't even touchable until they have some time on them. But similarly, in order to pay the bills, there are a lot of really cool Côte de Rhones. I'm sure that's a term everybody's heard. That is an official appellation, but it's, of course, very large and basically really talks about alcohol by volume as one of the stipulations, and, of course, the regional delimitations. But aside from that, there's not really rules. So little Côte de Rhones can be very fruity, or they can be extraordinarily serious and heady wines. So they kind of run the gamut. So talk to your favorite local wine merchant about those. And then we move into the southern shore, which is the Languedoc, and there's the eastern and western Languedoc. As I mentioned, Grenache is still the primary varietal, and of course you do have all these other sort of Rhone varietals like Syrah, Carignan, Saint-Saul. And then, of course, some wonderful little white varietals, Marsan, Roussan, of course, Viognier, which we've tasted some Viogniers on the show here. Absolutely delightful, again, and they can run the gamut from just fresh and light to, sort of brooding and serious whites. Really, really cool stuff. And they're all pretty affordable. Even the expensive Languedoc wines are not super expensive. $30, $40 for the most expensive, probably, period, right now. Of course, there's always asterisks, but by and large. And then also, in the Languedoc, because there's no real rules, you get a lot of mass-produced wines, too. Of course, the famous Fat Bastard label comes from the Languedoc. So there's a lot of wines that are made specifically for the American market there. Again, navigating your way through that is fairly attainable, but what's really nice is most wines from there are pretty good. even the cheap wines are pretty good. But do be selective, because there's a lot of people who are trying to imitate some of the better appellations, your Burgundies, and they say, well, this is sort of a Burgundy Junior, and it's Pinot Noir from the Languedoc. Especially Pinot Noir from the Languedoc, beware of, that tends to have sort of a questionable quality. But everything else is really great. But the other thing that Southern France is known for, and we're going to get to here because we're running out of time and I'm thirsty, is rosé, and it's rosé season. Don't be afraid of pink wine. It's dry, it's wonderful, it's refreshing. The one we're drinking today is a Vin de Pays d'Oc. So this is sort of a lower level legality-wise. The Pays d'Oc you'll see on all sorts of bottles that, from everywhere, including Fat Bastard and things like that. But it's Pays, so country, P-A-Y-S, D apostrophe O-C, Pays d'Oc. And this is this one is just called CM. It's a single tank Syrah, 100% Syrah. Beautiful acidity, juiciness, spice.
Outstanding.
Wonderful. So come and check that out, because it's going to be a nice warm weekend, and so we got you covered on refreshing rosé. Before I run out of time, of course, I'm going to remind everybody, June 21st, we are featuring Bell's Brewery. They're coming into Maine, so we're going to be showing them off in the Bangor area for everybody to try, and then I believe later that evening at Nocturnum, they will be doing some sort of a tap takeover there as well. And, of course, at the same tasting from 5 to 7 on June 21st, we'll have our friends from Crush Distributors there pouring organic and biodynamic wines just perfect for the summer that is so, so happily upon us. Everybody have a good time. This weekend, come in and see us, and we will set you up with cold, refreshing beverages and cheeses and all the other stuff.
Thank you, Eric.
Cheers.
Eric Mead, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown. And again, if you've missed a segment or just want to hear this one again, and I understand completely, go to the website downtownwithrichkimble.com. Click on the Message in the Bottle tab, and they're all right there for you.